Good morning. Welcome back. It's Friday. Steak night. Steak night here. The big town. One thing we haven't changed, we like eating some steaks. Hope everyone's doing well. What is going on in this world? My God. I guess COVID-19 isn't the headline anymore. It's riots. Rioting. I'm always amazed at riots. You know, whatever happened up there with that cop and that guy, I mean, clearly it looks bad. But I never understood why it's a green light to just wreck the place. I mean, I get it. You're pissed. People are upset. It's upsetting. I saw that video. I mean, it's upsetting. It's disturbing. But why is it the green light to wreck the joint? I remember, so I start thinking about what's my green lights? You know, what's the green light for me that allows me to wreck the joint? New Year's Eve was always a good green light. Birthdays. Fights. You know, it's almost like, oh, you gave me the green light. Now I want to try to, or I'm going to start behaving like I really want to behave. I mean, is that what life is? We're just all being kind of held back. But if we're given the opportunity, we'll fucking wreck the joint. Wreck it. Shouldn't wreck the joint. We love it. Turning up emotional faders, keep repeating self-fading phrases. I have heard enough of these voices, almost like I have no choice. This is biological stasis, my mood shifting to manic places. Wish I laughed and kept the good friendships, watch life. So funny. My biggest enemy is me. Take me there and I'll leave it up to me and I'll wreck the shit. Give me the green light. Give me that green light that allows me to just behave unusual, unlike I would usually behave. You know, alcohol did that for a long time. I would drink the alcohol and then the real me would come out, this asshole, you know. I wasn't an asshole not under the influence, but put alcohol in me, and all of a sudden I want to dig up every fucking past feeling and throw it all at you and in the nastiest behavior. I mean, what is that? That's why I had to quit drinking. Fucking so nasty. Well, I had to quit drinking for a lot of reasons, but that was one of them that came to mind. And I had to make a lot of amends after that. You know, and the targets usually were my parents. Or anybody that came between me and a drink was my target. And that's brutal, especially for those people. You know, and you look at these riots and, you know, I understand people can be upset. It's upsetting. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about it. I've actually not really been even watching it because it's just... I'm just over the drama. But I see when things like that happen, you know, you have to have a voice. You have to say something. You have to stand up for the rights of these people. And, but looting Target, taking all the stuff out of Target And then, you know, and they film these people coming out of these stores with all the stuff. And I'm like, what does that have to do with, you know, this cop? I don't know what he did. Killed him. I guess the cop killed the guy. What does taking all the stuff out of Target have to do with it? Or is this just how we really want to behave? Not we, some people. I don't know. It's weird. You know, and then, you know, and then you got these, you know, these cops that are dealing, you know, my wife and I love watching live PD. And I, you know, it's weird. A big portion of my life, I was kind of like, fuck the cops. You know, because I was smoking weed and drinking and partying and behaving badly and breaking the law. So fuck the cops. Only because the cops, when me and the cops crossed paths, usually it didn't work out well for me. So of course I hated the cops. Fuck them. They're screwing up my day. I shared the story when I got drunk and called the cops. Because my car had been hit, and I wanted justice. And the cop's like, dude, this is private property. Can't do anything. You're drunk. You know? And I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had to riot. I had to loot the Target. And the nasty side of me came out. Fuck you, motherfucker. All this bullshit. Just abusive. And the cop's like, putting up with it, really. He's like, listen, man, go inside. If you come out again, I'm going to take you to jail. If you come outside again, I'm going to take you to jail. Who came back out? Me. That's fucking bullshit. You know, you didn't hear my story right the first time. Clearly, I didn't put it in a way to make you understand. I don't even really know what I wanted. What did I really want the cops to do? Hunt this guy down? That guy was probably drunk too. We're all drunk. That's where we're at a bar, right? And come out again, and I'm going to take you to jail. Sure enough, that's the story of my life. I came out again, and I got taken to jail. And I was in the back of the car using inappropriate words, just fucking launching a tirade on this guy. It was two of them. And I'll never forget the cop. I remember he called ahead to the San Diego jail. I forget the code he put in, but it wasn't a good code. Because when I arrived, there was several people waiting for me. And, you know, they didn't beat me. But, you know, he said, spread your legs. And then he helped me with a swift kick to the right and a swift kick to the left. And almost split me in half. You know, slammed me against the car, slammed me against the wall. I deserved every bit of it. I probably deserved worse. I don't think I deserved a knee to the throat, but, you know, I can't imagine having that position as a cop. You know, like I said, we love watching live PD and it's just live. I mean, how do you, you know, I'm blessed in, you know, today I live a life. Most of the people I deal with don't lie to me. I don't need to lie. You know, I've worked that out. We don't need to be abusive to one another. All the people that I deal with aren't trying to get over on me. But if you're a police officer, you know, that's really what you deal with. And, you know, it seems like the attitude's gotten even worse towards cops, you know, and we watch this live PD and I've always been fascinated by being a police officer. I have the utmost respect for the police. You know, I don't deal with them like I used to because I changed my life. I tried to adjust myself, you know? There's nothing cooler than being kind of friends with a cop. You can only be so friendly with cops, though, right? I mean, I have a friend, her husband's a cop. We can only be so friendly with one another because he is law enforcement, you know? They kind of put themselves sort of in like in a bubble, you know. They've heard it. They don't really care. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. I don't even know what they think. I just know they deal with a lot of shit. And You know, that's why cops are friends with cops. They understand. They get it. You know, we put these guys out there, hire these guys out there to manage the shit. And it's a thankless job. And honestly, the only opportunity you have to really tell them thank you is if you're getting a speeding ticket or something, or you're breaking. I don't even know what people are up to, but, you know, the only interactions that I have with a police officer, I got pulled over. It's been a while. I got pulled over for for tint. I got a new car, had the tint put on. I have a waiver. I hadn't taken the waiver down to the motor vehicle department and had that added to my registration. So I don't know if people know that, but if you have a tint waiver, they add that to your registration so that when they look, you know, because they're constantly scanning license plates, you know, always, I don't know if they have cameras. I know some places do. I don't know if this town does, but they're constantly scanning license plates, registration, you know, expired tags, broken lights. So I got pulled over for having tint, and he was cool. He's like, you need to go down to the DMV and have that added to your registration and go over to the court and just show them, and they'll take the ticket off. I was like, absolutely, you know, thank you, sir. Yep. And then I got pulled over for being on my phone. And I knew better. I know better. This won't be a big deal. I can get away with it. Not get away with it, but who cares? You know, right? I mean, I get it. I get the law, sir, but I'm going to go ahead and break it. And I was turning, making a left out onto the highway, and he was sitting in the turning lane, headed north, I guess. And I wasn't really on the phone. I think what I was doing was probably picking music or something. I don't know. But he pulled me over. And I don't even think, I can't remember if I had my seatbelt on. No, you know what I got pulled over for now that I think about it? I didn't have my seatbelt on. Actually, I can't remember. It was either my phone or my seatbelt, but he pulled me over, and the guy was super cool, all pleasant. Hey, how are you? So-and-so from state police. And I think it was my phone, which I think is a $200 ticket. And if I'm right again, I don't remember shit. It's either phone or seatbelt. But he basically gave me... He said, look, I don't think your seatbelt was on. Like, you know, gave me that look like it was a seatbelt. And I was like, oh, right. So he gave me a ticket for a seatbelt, which is a lot less than I think the phone ticket. Cops are cool. You know, but if you're shucking and jiving, fucking up to no good, like I was for a long time, you know, the interaction isn't going to be terrific. It's usually not going to go my way. It's one of the best things about... I remember I got pulled over once by a young trooper, you know. It was 9:15. I was actually leaving an AA meeting, and I pulled into the turning lane. I did not use my blinker to pull into the turning lane. It was a bullshit pullover. But, you know, he's looking for drunk drivers, 9:15. I was definitely, back in the day, drunk and driving around at 9:15. He pulls me over. I actually have a big-ass piece of cake that I was bringing home for my kids from the meeting in the front seat. And he comes up to my car and right away sticks his head in the window. How you doing? Everything okay tonight? I'm like, yeah, everything's good, man. And it was fine. But one of the best things... the biggest gifts, and this might sound stupid, but one of the biggest gifts for me was to not drive drunk. That was my fucking Achilles heel, man. I could not. I'd be like, I am not. That was a big pile of shame and guilt every night, every morning when I would get up. I'm not going to drink and drive tonight. Sure enough, I get a few beers in me. Think I'll take a ride. I remember... I woke up one morning, and all I could remember was my car going over something. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. You know, like front left wheel. Boom. rear left wheel, like, you know, no, actually it was right, right front wheel, rear right wheel. And I woke up, you know, in a haze, drunk, probably still buzz. And all I could think about was, what the fuck did I run over? So, I mean, like, to the point where I needed to, you know, I got up and I went out and looked at my car, went to see if there was blood or anything on my car. Maybe I ran over somebody. And the worst part about it is where I lived about two blocks from a bar that I used to go to. The bar that I would initially get and finally get punched in the face and get tossed out of. Mulligan's was the bar. It's gone now. They've closed down. But it was literally a block and a half away from where my house was. But I would drive there. And, you know, I got up that morning and I was like, oh, I just felt anxiety and, you know, what have I done? I thought I ran over somebody. I thought I killed somebody. And I looked at my car, you know, checking, is there any blood, dents, guts? Nothing. I'm like, Jesus. So I just start walking towards the bar. Walking down the road, looking, you know, what did I hit? Is there someone dead down here, hurt, laying around? And as I got close to the bar, what I realized is that what I ran over was a, you know, one of those concrete things that, you know, usually kind of marks where a parking space is. And I must have just put it in drive and just drove forward. Boom, boom. And, but that anxiety, that stress, you know, oh my God, you know, what have I done? And just one of the biggest gifts for me was really just that, you know, not drinking and driving. I remember when I left the hospital, or not left the hospital, my first meeting after getting out of the hospital, it was, you know, I was driving home. I think the meeting was at the hospital at the time. I don't think they have any meetings at the hospital, which is a shame personally, but my personal thought. I was just driving home at like 9:15 and I'm like, I'm not drunk. Wow. It's probably the first time. And geez, I don't know how long it's been since I have not been drunk. Found my way when I got sober. Thank God. Ooh. Yeah, so these riots and, you know, I'm watching this stuff and I'm like, then the news crew got arrested and it's just crazy, man. You know, I watch a lot of different things. I'm always interested in people's thoughts and opinions. You know, a lot of different kinds of podcasts and, you know, and all the things that I watch and listen to, one of the biggest things that I take away from all that is I think our biggest problem is just us, right? We've just become so big. And it's all in the pursuit of happiness. How many of us, like, actually are doing what makes us happy? I wonder how many people really know what happiness is. I mean, if you take a broad look at people, I think the general consensus is that people want to be rich and they want to have a big house and they want to wear great clothes and they want to wear cool stuff and they want everybody to see it. Now, I'm sure there's people in there that don't. I say I don't. But I also say I don't because I don't have any money. So it's an easier position to take. You know, if I was fucking loaded with money and was still like, hey, I don't want any nice stuff. It's not what happiness is. I mean, what? For me, I think there's a piece that, you know, through sobriety, you know, that pink cloud, you know, all the bad shit that I did, remove it all, and God damn it, that's got to feel good. You know, I say it all the time. It takes a lot of work to be normal. But early in sobriety, early in my recovery, normal felt fucking amazing. And but when, you know, life continues and we start to kind of fall into the norm again, you know, I realize I'm not as amazing as I thought I was. And there's definitely not enough people recognizing it. And that's what the program, that's why that, you know, it's too bad that I, you know, I would love to just sit down and just read the steps. My fear is that I wouldn't be able to put it in a way that I wouldn't want to turn anybody off of a program like that. I don't want to confuse the message. I don't want to stick my personal feelings in there. And somehow, you know, my worst fear would be like, you know, I want to get sober, but, and I thought about AA, but that guy, you know, put his opinion in and now I don't like it. That's my fear. So, and I think that's what a program like that's fear is, of people out there putting out their own message about their program. But I know one thing, you have to do it all. I know another thing, I didn't really want to, so that almost makes it more important to do it. I mean, that's what got me in this position, right? Is doing everything that I wanted to do and not what I should. I mean, that would kind of turn out to be really my issue. You know, it's the struggle with that is that the first day you show up, you put down the alcohol. So I know I tended to or started to feel like I really had fixed everything. And I hadn't. You know, what happens if I get the green light of something on something when I'm sober? I've done that. You know, I've gotten the green light on things, not drinking, and done shit that was really pretty fucked up. You know, I wonder how many people this morning, you know, after they shredded their town, stole all the shit, I wonder how many people in this morning feel shame and regret or feel like they deserved to get what they got, to get what they stole because this cop behaved this way and now it's Target's fault or another store's fault or community's fault. I mean, what is that? I mean, how many people this morning feel bad? Like, damn it. I mean, was anybody drunk? Or was this all just clean, sober behavior? We have too many damn people. This guy, I watched his podcast, and I can't even remember the guy's name. It's Joe Rogan's latest podcast. But this guy, man, he went in, you know, into the far north of Russia, Siberia, and lived with these I guess it's a form of, you know, an Indian, so to speak, you know, Eskimo Indian, you know, but this people that really lived in just the woods and teepees and herded reindeer and, you know, and lived off the land and the happiness that it brought him, not really realizing that's what he was looking for, but starting to understand that all the stuff that we have and information and phones and computers and televisions and conversations and you know, whatever that is all called, how it wears us away. It creates unhappiness. And it was just an interesting story. You know, and honestly, I mean, I only look at this stuff when I'm in some sort of having an issue. I mean, this ain't changing, right? People aren't going to give up phones. I'm not. I was looking at something the other day about the new iPhone 12. You know, I skipped the 11. I was like, that's the phone I want to get, the new iPhone 12. But this phone I have right now is fine. You know, is this my time to make my stand? I will not. You know, I'm not giving up my phone. I did give up my watch, my Apple Watch. I had that, and it was too much for me. It went past my limit, went past what I can take. The notifications and the reminders and the texts, and I was constantly looking at my freaking watch. And it creates anxiety for me. You know, believe it or not, there was a period in my life where I wasn't living a great life. You know, I was kind of acting a little shady, struggling with relationship, and I kind of made some bad choices, and I wasn't drinking. I was just thinking. And, you know, I hurt myself and I hurt a lot of people. And now, honestly, I'm still like, you know, I made the choice. I will never do that again. I'm not going to live like that again. But when I get like a text, I have these flashbacks, like this post-traumatic stress disorder from my bad behavior. And I never want to live like that again. I never want to feel like my life could come unraveled at any minute. I wonder if that's part of it. I mean, do people feel like their life, they're just all just hanging on by a thread? I saw this one clip of this lady leaving Target with two lamps. I mean, was it more about the stealing or did she need lamps? I mean, I can't imagine that. If there's a riot and we're going to loot something, the most important thing are lamps. Is it just because we're all just hanging on? You know, that Andrew Yang guy, he wanted to do that basic income, that IBI or whatever it was, intermediate basic income or something like universal UBI, universal basic income, which was like give everybody $1,000 a month. And if you're getting assistance now, let's say you're getting $300 or $400 or $500 a month now from the government, then it would be an additional $5. So whatever reached $1,000. But the point was every citizen in the United States gets $1,000 a month. And people are like, oh my God, no one's going to want to work. It's not true. I mean, we're all fucking broke. I mean, there's obviously a small percentage of people that are quite wealthy and that are not broke, but the census. The feeling is that it doesn't really matter how much money you have. You kind of live to it. You know, it's not like, you know, if you're making a lot of money and you make a lot of money lifestyle, you probably don't have the money to just go rebuild your garage or put in a new driveway or get braces or whatever it is, this weird thing that pops up, you know, when your heating unit goes down after 20 years and you have to invest $10,000, $15,000. Most of us don't have it, you know. I mean, I've gone a long time with cavities and missing teeth and just, you know, I always say if there's a God, he could have done a little bit better with teeth. You know, why are they so fucking difficult? I know, you just brush them and I do. I'm that guy. I got soft teeth. But I went a long time without a lot of stuff, you know, because I couldn't afford it. I could afford my mortgage, my car payment, feeding my family, you know, having the things I like to do, but I just can't afford a crown. And this guy, Andrew Yang, was like, listen, I'm going to give everybody $1,000 a month because we're all broke. And is that what's going on? Is this about, you know, a cop killing a guy? Or is it because we're just all fucking pissed that we're all broke? Mm-hmm. I didn't see any reporters out there asking any questions either. Excuse me, sir. I see you picked out a nice pair of lamps there. Did you really need the lamps, or are you just mad? I need the lamps. Okay. Well, nice lamps. Well, that's my thoughts for the day. Ignore, enjoy, whatever. Don't tear up the goddamn town, anybody. You and I together in our lives, sacred ties we'll never fray. Then why can't I let myself tell lies and watch you die? Hope everybody has a great day. Thanks for listening. Peace. Don't tear up the town. No more Target. No more lamps. Fuck that up. All right, everybody. Have a great day. I gotta go work. Make some money. Make some cheddar.